What is up, Wolverine Nation? Welcome back to another exciting episode. I'm Isaac Smolden. I'm joined, as always, by Parker Hovilla. Parker, how's it going today?
Just another day living the dream, Isaac. Hanging out, talking some Wolverines hockey. We've got some, not some, we have a great interview on tap.
Oh, man. It's the one that everyone's been waiting for.
It's like been in the comment section all the time.
Yeah, people saying, "Why? Where's Luke Cooley? I need to hear from Luke Cooley about Corsi. Someone have Luke Cooley explain Corsi to me." Yeah, for all
where's
the analytics people
yeah,
out
no,
there.
Doing fantastic, though. Just hanging out. Excited. Bit of a weird week here. It feels odd that we have a game on Wednesday. I was sitting there this morning at work, and I was like, man, I better start preparing for this.
Get mentally locked in. Cool. Cooley and I missed you. Crazy that we have Cooley before Lee Green, but Lee went on vacation, and so we're just gonna have to get to him next time. But Cooley and I got to hang out all week, and we missed you up in the booth with us. But Cooley got to wear the headset and listen in, and you know, point out all. It is actually really interesting sitting next to him because he catches all these little details from guys when he's clipping like scoring chances and stuff. And that's, you know, when we're at home, he's a little bit further away, so we don't get to get that information kind of live. But it's always cool because I know that like that's the stuff that they're talking about down in the locker room. So we'll talk with him in a little bit. Let's catch everyone else and yourself up on what happened the last couple of weekends. And I know that you've seen the highlights and were with us virtually. So the last time that we talked, it was right after that Springfield series. And we talked about how important this next 2 weeks are to really tough opponents, to opponents that are sitting in playoff positions. 2 weeks ago, two games against the Wisconsin Wendigo, and the Wolverines snagged 3 out of 4 possible points. They almost sweep them. That Friday night game, a 50-50 game, decided in a shootout, but a convincing win on Saturday against Wisconsin. And that momentum that they had generated from, you know, the past 3 weeks just kept on rolling into that Wendigo series.
Yeah, that was a crazy series, especially that Friday night game. And talking to Aches afterwards, he was like, man, I'd never seen a shootout go like that. It was
first 7 shooters score. Are you kidding me?
First 7 shooters, I was like, man, it felt like we're about to be on Oprah. You get a save, you get a save, or you get a goal, you get a goal. The netminders were not ready for that shootout, I'll tell you what. But or maybe they were just really good moves by the players. Nonetheless, I mean, the entertainment factor for that game was unbelievable for us. But at the same time, I thought I was going to have a heart attack at some point throughout that shootout because I was like, man, can someone make a save or someone not score? Because this is nuts.
Yeah. And then, you know, that it had to have been frustrating. Something that I continued to talk with the players about in interviews this weekend was just the fact that, you know, early in the season, this team faced adversity and just kind of crumbled. And that has not been the case the last couple of weekends. I mean, they get just a super disheartening loss on Friday to lose like that in the shootout when you did so many things right. I mean, a highlight reel goal from Luke Beadle, I don't think that is going to be topped this season. It'd be really tough to top a between the legs top shelf goal that your brother fed you with a spinorama pass from the point. But Saturday they go out there, they play gritty. The game winning goals on a Duke Gensler block shot that Caleb Maher picks up on his way out of the penalty box for a breakaway goal. And you get 3 out of 4 points against the Wendigo, which is not an easy task to do. I mean, they'd been really hot coming into that weekend. And so I think it was really exciting for the over 5,200 fans that showed up to that Saturday night game.
Yeah, it was a packed house. It was rocking. And, you know, there's always some points throughout a game when we have our headsets off and it is just super loud in there. And I think one of them is when they, you know, played Don't Stop Believin' by Journey and get the
sing-along going.
Yeah, the cell phone lights going. It was rocking. It was rocking on Saturday night. And, you know, when Bob slid the paper over showing the 5,200 number, I was like, holy smokes. For, you know, for a November game, I was not expecting us to see numbers like that. But it just shows how much this town has gotten behind the team here in Anchorage. And, supported them even after the rough start they had. But kind of like what we talked about with Aches, it's a slow burn, it's a smolder, and then it's picking up finally, and they're starting to catch some fire here.
Yeah, this past weekend was another one of the wildest games that I've watched. Friday night, back and forth affair. Fairbanks wins 4-3 in regulation, and I'd love to be able to talk about it more, but this weekend was completely overshadowed by what we saw on Saturday night. I just sent you the highlights so that you could catch back up and we could make sure that we kind of catch the beat for beat. So here's the summary. 15 power plays between the two teams. Fairbanks scored 4 times on the power play. They had a rate of below 50%. I've never seen a team score 4 power play goals and had a rate of below 50%. Anchorage scores 2 power play goals. It was 4-2 after the first for Fairbanks. And I'm looking around it, and it was just like bang, 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 you know, back and forth. And Fairbanks scores 3 unanswered. And, you know, we got Bryant sitting on our right. We got all our normal crowd there. That's kind of the Fairbanks faithful that love checking in and chirping us every time that the two teams play. And I'm looking around it, and I'm like, what is going on? They're like, I don't know, but we're winning. Ha ha. And I'm like, cool, guys. And then Anchorage scores 4 unanswered in the second period. And, you know, maybe they were expecting me to be a little more boastful. I was even more confused at that point. I had no idea. I'm looking at them. They're like, what? Now they're looking at me. What's going on? I'm like, I don't know. I told you guys this was crazy in the first period, and you didn't believe me. So now we're here in the second, and it's 6-4 Wolverines. And I don't know how we got here. A lot of grit, a lot of fight in that Wolverines team. And all 4 of those goals, by the way, all in the second half of the period. No goals for the first 10. Just like bang, 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 2 power play goals. So we get to the third. 13 minutes left, Fairbanks scores. Okay. Yeah, there's been 10 goals so far. I didn't think we were going to get through a scoreless third. And Anchorage, 2 minutes left. Fairbanks pulls their goalie. Anchorage is icing it. Anchorage is icing it. Okay, we're getting closer and closer to 0. 10 seconds at a time. 6 seconds left. Defensive zone faceoff. Fairbanks up, over, goal, 1.6 seconds left on the clock. And the building. I mean, you know how that building is. Just people are
that
leaning over the
loud.
Glass. Yeah, yeah. Leaning over the glass. They're out of $5 beers at this point. It's a madhouse in there. And overtime was not pretty, Parker. I'll be the first person to say it. Fairbanks had a lot of possession in OT. And they're circling the offensive zone. And Anchorage is not getting a lot going. They're kind of just in survival mode. They're kind of keeping Fairbanks to the outside. I will say, not a ton of high-danger scoring chances. And Connor Jalbert sees Gage Leonard go for a change. Has Rohrer in front of him at the end of like a minute-long shift. And just is like, hey, I think I'm going to turn on the afterburners. And just blow right past this guy. 2-on-1. I had to confirm because I've been telling it to people, but it is accurate. It was the only shot on goal that Anchorage had all overtime. And it finds its way into the back of the net. Anchorage wins 7-6. And I don't know. It was I was hanging out with the coaches after. They were at kind of a loss for words as well. It, for anyone that watched the entirety of that game, it was a game that was unique and not one that I think we'll see the likes of for a long time yet to come.
Yeah, and you know, Chase Trompeter buries that OT winner. He has just stayed red hot lately. I mean, that guy's stick, I need to get some of them because I could use that scoring touch in my men's league games. But nonetheless,
probably the right size stick for you, too. So that'll
work
well.
The right side stick also, you know. I like you said, Jalbert just turning on the afterburners, and then Trompeter gets on his horse, makes it a 2-on-1 and a beautiful pass from Jalbert, and just roofs it top shelf. Just a fantastic scoring touch by Chase Trompeter. And, you know, it took him a couple weeks to get going, and now you can really see him settling in Anchorage and being comfortable and taking a couple more chances, and when he's taking those chances, he's scoring goals.
Absolutely. Well, we won't keep anyone waiting anymore. It's the moment you've all been waiting for. Let's talk with video coach of the Anchorage Wolverines and my roommate, Luke Cooley. Well, we are joined for the first time by Luke Cooley, roommate, my favorite roommate, Luke Cooley, this past weekend and like every weekend that we travel, it seems like. Cool Hand Luke, what's going on, buddy?
Just trying to decompress from the last weekend we had here.
Yeah.
It was very eventful, as you could, as you were there and saw. So
yeah.
And getting ready for Wednesday.
Yeah, absolutely. Pretty quick turnaround. Shorter than most. I guess, yeah, let's start with your view on the past weekend, because you know, every Fairbanks trip, pretty much both of us have been there the last however many seasons. And, you know, we sit at the Dipper right next to that giant pillar in enemy territory. And that was a pretty unique experience that we were treated to on Saturday. Emotional whiplash is maybe the best way to describe it.
Yeah, I have a lot of gray hairs after this weekend than I did before. I think it was a little stressful watching on my end, the emotional roller coaster. I mean, it's always a good time at the Dipper, just the energy there. And it's always especially nice to come out with a win like we did Saturday night. But yeah, very, very much a roller coaster weekend, but we got 2 out of 4 points and we got to move on into Wednesday.
You're going up to Fairbanks, it's always kind of interesting, I think, because you're going back from the large ice at the Sully, and things are in a little bit tighter down there. And, you know, I was able to watch the game recap on Saturday, and it seemed like things were moving a lot quicker. It was pretty run and gun, it seemed like, from my perspective. What was it like for you kind of inside and just the back and forth hockey? Would you prefer a back and forth game like that, or do you like it better when, you know, it's a 2-1 hockey game and it's more predictable through the whole way?
No, the less goals against are the better for me in my eyes, because that means there's less mistakes, right, on the D zone. But going into the weekend, right, like, yeah, you said the Dipper is smaller. But one of the things we address is, you know, you don't have room in the corners, right? You get that – the puck gets thrown in the corner, and you got to make a play quick. And I think it was – took some adjustment, especially early on the first period Friday. It's kind of evident we turned the puck over a lot. Their first goal came right off a turnover in the middle of the ice that we couldn't clear the puck. And – but we made our adjustments. We were able to come back somewhat Friday night. And then Saturday, even when we were down with all those power play goals, we were able to come back and take a lead for momentarily there. And, yeah, it is different ice, but we were able to handle it, and you're able to adapt.
Cool. Yeah, you and myself are part of a small handful of folks that have been with the Wolverines for all that. This is all of our fifth season. I think we mathed it out, and I'll apologize if I'm forgetting anyone, but it's a club of like you, Merritt, Mike Cook, Bob Lester, and me, as far as I can tell. Obviously the ownership group and a couple other people, but as far as folks that are employees, I think it's just us five. And if you're part of that group, let me know, because I want to make us all jackets or something. So how did you get involved with this team in the first place? How has your role changed? And as someone that is in a very unique experience of having watched this team from the beginning, how have you seen maybe not even just your role change, but really the organization change over the last 5 years?
Yeah, it's been a crazy ride. I first got started in, I mean, I grew up playing for Keith and Merritt. I mean, Keith Morris coached me back in Pee Wee hockey, right? And again in high school. And when I graduated high school and decided to just go straight in education, I started coaching my little brother, and I was coaching with Keith then. And when they had this, I remember going up to Fairbanks and Keith having talks with Profit about the potential of having a team in Anchorage. And, you know, lo and behold, even back in 2019, there's talks about and building player databases, right? And kind of helping Keith out that way. And I've always kind of been his tech guy and being able to do video and analytics. And so, and I did a little bit of work with former coach Nick Walters at UAA when I was going to school there. And so when we had a team, Keith kind of wanted me to be that guy and do video with the team. So I was kind of introduced that way and just kind of took on the reins. I could sharpen skates. So year one, we didn't have the automatic sparks sharpener, and I was sharpening skates for the guys before games and stuff. And always just been there to do video in game, try to help out with pre or post scout if coaches need it. And even do virtual scouting, like watching midget hockey, Minnesota hockey.
Yeah, we did a little bit of that on Saturday afternoon.
We did. We went deep into TPE and Instat, some of the tools we use to watch these guys that are playing outside the state of Alaska. And yeah, my role has just kind of evolved. And with Merritt kind of stepping into the GM role, I've really tried to help him out more and be his support staff with him from a player personnel standpoint, and getting the team ready for not only this, like this season, but for the future. We have our scout Taylor Gay, who's been fantastic. And I think I talk to him daily, almost twice a day, just with guys that are, we're looking at. And no, it's been cool to evolve, but always be with the team in a helping way and to try to help the team succeed. It's been very fun.
Kind of looking into the mind of a video coach, kind of, you know, your day to day and at the rink, it's different than the other coaches because you spend so much time, you know, on the iPad or on a computer looking at different things and trying to work with guys on stuff. So kind of take us through that, kind of to the fans at home. What's your day to day at the rink look like when you're helping out and getting video cut for these guys?
Well, during the week, you know, I try to help out Coach Aches, Coach Lee, Coach Ilya with doing video and getting stuff together for the week. Using those tools, like I've worked with Aches a lot this week, so he's able to find video on guys and watch it on his own instead of having to have me go and pull it for him. But being able to break down other team systems, right? Especially special teams, and special teams has been a bit of a struggle for us this year, but we're still working on video to try to get it better and move up in our percentages for our special teams. When it comes to game day, right, we'll show up, usually have a pregame meeting with some video, either Coach Aches leading the way, and sometimes he's just doing it on his own. Sometimes he's having me push the buttons on the keyboard and put some clips together. And then when it comes to game day, I am the eyes in the sky, per se. So, you know, the team has a laptop and it plugs directly into the main camera feed. I mean, no offense to you guys, but I don't really want to see your guys' faces during the broadcast.
Offense taken.
Trying to analyze all parts of the game. But
you don't like our hot takes, Cooley?
Yeah. But I'm able to tag everything. So every event that happens during the game, whether it's a chance for or against, clip the whole power play penalty kill. And that's really useful when we go into intermission and, you know, watch everything and see the turnovers, right? And even just tagging stuff, it does an automatic count. So you can see like what the chances were for that period, right? Like for instance, Friday night in Fairbanks, we were outchanced 6-2 during that game. But then the rest of the game, we only gave up 11 chances. So that's kind of cool to see, like, most of their offense came in that first period Friday night. And then after the game, it's either, you know, watching video right then after, or, you know, the next morning, or having Nakes kind of work through it and just getting them anything they need. I'm able to break down the analytic reports that are AI generated, and if I see some numbers there, I'll try to give that to the staff for maybe some analytic input. And yeah, my biggest role is just to be a support for those guys. I know I'm not there every day during the week during practice. I wish I could be, but you know, I got a mortgage to pay for. But being able to be there for the majority of the weekends, be with the team and help the staff out has been, it's fun and I enjoy it. So,
most important question, Cooley, I've got the league's analytics site pulled up right now. In your professional opinion, what's the most important stat, failed controlled exits or potential assists?
Oh man. Yeah, there are so many analytical stats that you can go into. I think, I mean, I know you're kidding there, but if you're looking at, for a real true answer, think chances, like chance percentage, right? Seeing if guys are on the ice, like how many chances are they on the ice for and against, and what's the ratio with that? Or even so much expected goals. Expected goals is a stat where it takes your chances and it weighs how strong they are and kind of spits out like how many goals are expected to be from the game there. You know, and it's all based on historical data that AI is able to break down. But if you look at it, it makes a lot of sense, right? So you can have a player that's out there for a lot of chances for or a lot of chances against, right? But then you can compare that to the expected goals. And sometimes, you know, there's a player, they're not out there for a lot of chances against, but they have a high expected goals against. And it's like, well, you look at those chances, they're giving up a lot of – the chances they are giving up are pretty grade A, high quality chances. So it's just a different stat, and there's all sorts of different numbers. Yeah, you could go into Corsi, which is – you know, shot attempts for and against a player. And you can dive so deep into it, but I mean, we could talk for hours. I'm sure
people would love to listen to a full breakdown of every advanced analytic that the league has access to and exactly what it means. But we'll spare them that. Look for the 3 hour After Dark podcast where Cooley just goes through, man, failed controlled exits. Let's go through failed control exits, or maybe there is some actually really good stuff in here. I mean, like shots on goal from the danger zone. I'm giving you a little bit of grief, but I think that having access to that is something that a lot of teams, you know, maybe don't dive into as much. And sometimes when you look at the advanced analytics and you dive a little more past like goals and assists and ice time, like you are able to, at the very least, confirm some stuff that, or double check something that your eyes or your gut may be telling you. And that's how you find some of those diamond in the rough players.
Yeah. It's just a resource. And I mean, you can use it for a team aspect, but also you can use it for scouting. Right. And I think it can tell a story for maybe a player where you look at points and plus minus, they might get overshadowed, but you know, I think somebody on our team who doesn't get enough credit for being like a good player and a top player for us is Kale Kwame, who, you know, doesn't put up big goals and assists, right? But he's a very good analytically defensive defenseman. And that has a little bit of offensive flair to his game, and you're starting to see that a little bit. But, I mean, that's where numbers can kind of help analyze a player too. You see those underlying and stuff that – never, you don't necessarily see on the score sheet.
Well, Cooley, thank you so much for your time today. Always fun to get to hang out with you on the weekend, and we will see you directly to our left doing all the work that you do, taking the analytics and turn it into a way to make this team better on Wednesday. Well, thank you, Cooley. You know, I actually do love being roommates with Cooley. I don't care what Sam Graham says. You know, just always we stayed up late, watched some movies, hung out, drank some beers. It's always a good time on the road. So we have one game ahead of us, Parker. It's happening hopefully the day that this releases. It should be this afternoon, Wednesday. And this is a single game the day before Thanksgiving against your in-state rival, the Kenai River Brown Bears. You swept them the last time you played them. It's the first time the Brown Bears are at the Sullivan. And after this, you get a weekend off, then a whole nother week off before your next game. It's the last game that Anchorage will play in the state of Alaska in the year 2025. So what do the Wolverines need to do to kind of finish this homestand strong? It started so rough. We talked about that, but they've really found a way to put things together, kind of build the plane in flight, gel as a team, and I think a win in front of what hopefully will be another super packed house would mean a lot to this team before they start a stay down in the lower 48.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, going back to my time down in Kenai, and I got to say, I was bummed to miss the Fairbanks trip. I always love the, you know, for guys who used to play and then get into doing broadcasting and stuff like that, what we miss the most, I would say, is just the camaraderie and hanging out. And it gives you that locker room feel. You're, you know, that's why we play men's league. You have a couple beers after with the guys, hot stove it for a little bit, talk hockey, and kind of forget about everything else going on in the world and trying to be an adult. But nonetheless, going back to when I went down to Kenai with the team, I think they played a fantastic neutral zone and defensive zone. They're going to have to do that once again. And what they did really well was capitalize on Kenai's mistakes. Kenai had a lot of turnovers at neutral ice and in their defensive end. And Anchorage is going to have to make sure they have that scoring touch once again to really run the score up on the Brown Bears and just take it out within reach. You know, Kenai does have some sharpshooters on their team, but I think when you break it down to the analytics and look at it, Anchorage should have a relatively good odds of coming away with a win on Wednesday.
Yeah, absolutely. Kenai, you know, it always seems like this is how it works, right? Kind of a pretty decent start, and then the month of November is just a killer for them. They're 3-6-1 in their last 10 games. They had a good weekend against the Ice Dogs, but then they lost both games to Wisconsin at home this week. So foot on the gas for the Wolverines. They picked up a split on the road against Fairbanks. They got 3 out of 4 against Wisconsin. You got a single game, and you got a week and a half off. Leave everything out there on the ice and hopefully skate away with 2 points.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, like you said, leave everything out there. They got a week and a half off. Guys are going to be going all out. And also, it's going into the break. How do you want to go into it? Do you want to go into it on a hope and a wish and a dream that, oh, if I would have done these things differently, we would have come away, you know, victorious? Or do you want to go into it, man, we played a heck of a hockey game. We're going to enjoy these 2 points for a few days and then get back to work after the holiday break.
Well, that is the next game that is coming up. We hope to see you on Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Alaska time. Tickets at tickets.anchoragewolverines.com. And, of course, you can always watch with us, NATV, live and on demand. They're talking about a sellout, Parker. I haven't seen the ticket sales numbers, but I know Bob is really pushing for it. So everyone will have the day off on Thursday. There's no excuse not to be there on Wednesday night and just make the Sullivan the best place to play if you're an Anchorage Wolverine and the worst place to play if you're anyone else, because that is all part of this team's culture and identity and what helps them to, you know, be one of the top teams in the Midwest and the NAHL. As tough as the first month of the season was, it's been so encouraging to watch this team build an identity, build camaraderie, and they're right in the hunt. They're sitting just a couple points out of a playoff spot. We're only a third of the way through the season, and hopefully Wednesday night they get a win.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, Bob really peddling the sellout. It'll be interesting to see. It's the last game for the calendar year. We won't see everybody back at the Sullivan Arena until January. I know both you and I are going to do some traveling in December, get out of this frigid state for a little bit. Nonetheless, we still love, but sometimes some sunshine is good for the soul.
Yeah, sunshine's good. Sunshine's good. So I'm hoping that you know, all of us can go into the holiday season and vacation season on a high note. It's always nice to finish strong. That will do it for us here today. I want to thank Luke Cooley again. Thank you, Parker, as always, for joining me, and we will see everyone Wednesday against the Brown Bears. The Wolverine Nation is recorded at the My House Recording Studio here in Wasilla, Alaska. Until we see you next time, stay safe. Go Wolverines.